One reason why it's annoying when the voice comes on the radio to say that prices are stable, inflation is low. Have you seen Rent? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. A new survey finds that in many spots across the country, we have rents rising faster than wages. The least affordable markets are also predictable. Hawaii, D.C., New York, and Northern California top the list. But as Marketplace's Amy Scott reports, the price of buying a home is going up even faster.
In 2016, yikes, that's next week, a three-bedroom rental will cost 3.5% more than this year, according to RealtyTrack. Weekly wages are up only about 2.5%. Darren Bloomquist, who wrote the report, says millions of people who lost their homes during the housing crisis are still renting, and millennials have put off buying.
That's around another 5 million people who may have been homeowners who are renters, and that's just putting a lot of upward pressure on the rental market.
In more than half the counties RealtyTrack looked at, it's still more affordable to buy a house than to rent. That may shift as home prices rise even faster and developers build more apartments. Chris Herbert is managing director of Harvard's Joint Center for Housing Studies.
We're seeing more multifamily rental housing being built right now than any time since the 1980s. So in that respect, help is on the way.
RealtyTrack's Bloomquist predicts by this time next year, it may be more affordable to rent in half of markets. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
There was word yesterday that existing home sales fell sharply in November by 10%. Inventories are tight. Again, not enough homes on the market. The National Association of Realtors also has a theory that new disclosure forms required by the Federal Consumer Watchdog Agency delayed some house closings in November. Today we'll hear about new home sales for last month. Economist Mark Fleming is with First American.
Generally, when an existing home sells, the only economic impact as measured in GDP or GNP is broker fees and a few other things. But new home sales indicate that there's a lot more economic impact driven by all of that activity that was used to create that new home. Constructing a new home is both labor and resource intensive. And so the more that new home sales increase, the more economic impact and activity there is.
Now let's do some more numbers. Particularly from the stock market, the FT 100 index in London is up 1.8%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. Call it the Santa Claus rally, which often but not always appears this time of year. S&P futures are up 0.25% now. Almost 70% of U.S. cities surveyed said that requests for emergency food assistance are up from last year. This from the U.S. Conference of Mayors. The leading cause of hunger, according to those surveyed, not unemployment, but low wages. Sally Herships reports.
Imagine you have a paycheck that just won't cover all your expenses. What do?
You can't afford not to pay your rent or you get evicted. You can't afford not to pay your electric bill or, you know, your lights get cut off.
Nancy Roman is president of the Capital Area Food Bank in Washington, D.C.
But you actually can cut out a meal. You know, you actually can decide that you can't afford vegetables, so you're going to feed your family a plate of buttered noodles again.
According to the USDA's thriftiest estimate, it costs about $40 a week to feed one adult. That means if you earn federal minimum wage, $7.25 an hour, that's almost a day's work going for food. Eric Cooper is president of the San Antonio Food Bank.
Ultimately, the ability of the individual to earn a livable wage is critical.
But Cooper says sometimes earning a livable wage can lead to a catch-22.
For that to happen, they might need to be educated.
And more education can cost more money. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To help keep our coverage relevant and hopefully compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount really, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. What are the chances that someone will take a risk on you and put big money into your big idea? Professor Eric Gordon knows about venture capital, among other things. He's at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business and joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Let's take a look at what we're seeing here in 2015 as we get into 2016, taking a look at the facts and figures on companies looking for money. What do you see?
Well, in some ways it was a strong year, and in some ways it was a weak year. Each month, over 500,000 new businesses were started. That's better than it's been in the last 5 years. Lots of VC money has been invested. That was strong, about $70 billion versus $65 or $66 billion last year. But there were actually fewer deals closed with VC money. So what you see is more money going into fewer companies.
So there was the lucky fewer who were able to get a hold of this big money, but it wasn't being spread around perhaps the way it might have been in the past.
Yeah, it looks as if VCs have become more selective and are more interested in growing companies more quickly to be bigger. So they're picking the companies that they think have the best prospects and that can be fed the most money to grow most quickly. But as a society, you wonder, you know, what idea that might be a really useful idea just didn't make it across the bubble when the VCs got more selective.
I know, but it's the VC's money, right, Eric? You know, they get to decide.
The VCs are the gatekeeper, and I will tell you, it's a sobering experience to be a VC and decide whether or not you're going to invest in a company and be part of their future and maybe even allow them to have a future.
Now, what areas did you see as hot in 2015, perhaps not as hot?
So the hot area is software. That's almost always the hot area. Pharma and biotech is hot. And healthcare services and supplies are hot. Healthcare is sort of the monster that's eating the economy. And it's exciting times in software. We're having new kinds of software, cognitive software, software that fuels the so-called big data analysis.
Eric Gordon at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Thanks for tracking this for us.
My pleasure.
And there are reports today that Fusion, the cable TV channel that fused Univision with its focus on Spanish speakers with Disney to target 20 and 30-somethings, may unfuse and become all Univision. Several published reports today suggest Disney wants out and could sell its piece of Fusion to Univision. Disney may instead try to get at millennial viewers through Vice Media, which it partly owns, and its ABC Family channel, which could soon change its name to Freeform. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.